Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Studying this week with the Lord has given us in the scriptures two or three things come to mind. I was reading about more than one salvation. I think that's clearly taught in the scriptures, and I think folks need to be reminded of it to help. So when we talk to others, that we can give them a clear understanding that there's more than one salvation in the scriptures.
Right.
Because if you just classify it all under one salvation, then you're going to have some confusion there. And there's some spots that might help you out here. We'll talk about it a little bit. The Lord be my helper. And first off, the Bible was left here. Men were inspired by God to write of our Lord and Savior instructions of how we are to live and how we are to conduct ourselves. We understand through the scriptures how Christ, salvation is through Christ Jesus, and I trust totally that all that the Father gave him before the foundation of the world, that he bled and died at the cross for them, and all those will be housed in heaven eternal glory by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is the eternal salvation.
Right.
But while we're living here, we've been so blessed to have this Bible to read how to conduct ourselves. How do we live in the church? That's what the church doesn't make you ready for heaven per se. The church is a privilege to know about Christ, and that's the reason it's so important that all these brethren that come before you preaching, that they preach the gospel, the true gospel,
amen,
the correct gospel. We spend so much time in our daily studies trying to rightly divide the word of truth and to find it. And it's up to you, my brothers and sisters, to read and study to make sure we're on track also.
Right.
Because if we come in here and bring something that doesn't sound right, doesn't match the scriptures, you need to be bringing it to our attention to either help us, either get it straightened out, or help yourself. But you owe the Lord, you owe him, because look what all he's done for you.
Right.
He's blessed you to understand, to be knowledgeable of the scripture, the salvation, what Christ has done. You need to read, it's like I read too this week, it's like a love letter from your heavenly Father when Christ was leaving, instructing us how to live our lives.
Right.
Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Who hath saved us? Who saved us? Jesus Christ saved us on the cross. God accepted his blood on the cross for all those, that blood was shed out for all those that the Father gave him. God accepted Christ's blood work. So we are saved through Jesus Christ. That is the eternal part of the salvation. You need to rightly divide it. Get that in your head. Get that part right. That's pretty easy to follow right there.
Amen.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works.
Amen.
Whoa, we got a works. Oh, yes, sir, you
yes
do. You've got a work to do. But we'll come back to that in just a minute. Not according to our works. He saved us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There was a people given to him. Christ took care of him.
Right.
He took care of him at the cross. Not at the very beginning. He didn't shed his blood at the beginning. He shed it 2,000 years ago from now, which was about 24,000 to 6,000 years ago at the beginning of the world. Anyway, not getting that time schedule. But anyway, Christ's blood shed at the cross for the sins of all people who God gave him.
Right.
We find that when we read over in John 17, but we're not going to go there so much. Well, I'll catch it just quickly. I'm going to catch it anyway. John 17, 2. As he has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
Amen.
That's the eternal part.
Right.
But there's a work over here, because if we come back over here to Philippians, this is still Paul's writings to the, over here in the Philippian letter, 2:12. Wherefore, by my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
There's a work. Well, over here in 2 Timothy, he said, not according to our works. But over here, it says a work.
Right.
So there's a work. What's that? That's to rightly divide the word of truth. That salvation that over in the Philippians, that Paul wrote about the Philippians, is what God has already worked inside of us.
Right.
To understand it.
Right.
How else can you explain to me, when you hear the gospel word preached and it's preached correctly, and you say amen without even thinking about it, Brother Vaughn? Something deep inside of you said, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Holy Spirit talking to the little child of God, talking with inside of you. When you hear it, you just rejoice immediately. You just, amen, and you have such a comforting feeling because the battle has been finished. It's comforting, comforting.
Right.
Over there in Isaiah, our warfare is accomplished. And when you hear it, automatically you just rejoice. You say, why did I jump up in my heart and say, oh, this is good. This is what I need to hear. Because God has written it on your heart.
Right.
And you're trying to work it out. How do you work it out? By studying the Word of God. And it also teaches us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. And it gives preachers and teachers to come before you to preach and teach you the gospel truth. That's right. And when you hear it, it makes sense, Brother Vaughn. Nobody can deny that to you. I can't explain it to you. I can't color it right. God has to put that in a person. That's the working out your salvation. What? God has worked inside of us. Verse 13. I'm back over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure is for us to try to walk in a way. And I spoke last week about us trying to, and there was a lot of corrective teaching we had last week.
Yes, it was.
It was. It was good for me.
I needed
that corrective teaching, correcting me, that I may walk better. You know, wide is the gate, but narrow is the way to the truth.
Right.
I need to walk more narrow and please my Heavenly Father and rightly divide the word of truth, not trying to divide it to tear it down, but to cut out the chaff in my life.
Right.
I get on the gospel truth of what Jesus Christ, all that we come together needs to come together on the teachings of Jesus Christ and not of man. And when we come on teachings of Jesus Christ, we rejoice in it. The little child of God feeds upon it. He has answers to questions. You know, it always amazes me when a minister gets up and he preaches and they preach the gospel and the whole house gets so excited. And then, when they start talking to you and telling you, you explain something to me over here and you help me say something over here. He didn't even preach on those subjects per se. But there was something that brother or sister needed, and God was feeding them through that gospel minister to give them the answers they need. And that's God's Holy Spirit moving in the congregation, Brother Vaughn. It amazes me to see that. One brother or sister over here be crying and weeping, another over here rejoicing.
Right.
And it's at the same preaching, Brother Vaughn. Because God is feeding his children.
Right.
Helping them to rightly divide what God has already worked inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason too that the preachers and we ourselves, even church members, careful what we study and how we talk. Because in 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto yourselves. Now he was talking to Timothy. But it can be applied to us members also. And it should. It does. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Right.
That's not a eternal salvation right there. It's talking about right there. That is a walking today's salvation.
Yes.
You know, some people get upset when we use the term time salvation. Because this scripture doesn't come out and just say time, but it implies it.
Right.
How else can you explain to me that thou shalt both save thyself? Well, I got over here reading a while ago that not according to my word saves me, but how can I save myself over here? It's got to be two different ones, Brother Brian.
Amen.
For doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we need to be careful how we talk around other brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to save myself from this untoward generation.
Amen.
That we are so much around every day. Wherever we may go, there's people that's... There's so many of them. And I'm not saying they're not children of God and amongst them. I'm just tell you, they are.
Yeah.
And we need them. I need them. My goodness gracious, they may have another denomination name beside their place they want to go. That's fine. I'm looking for the truth. But I need these brothers and sisters. And they're evidence to me that they're children of God among them, Brother Vaughn, because they love me, they help me, and sometimes they'll even talk to me about the scriptures. They may be confused on some things, and I got some things confused. But at the end of the day, it's giving God worship. Worshiping Jesus Christ, Him crucified on the cross. He did the saving through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. That's the eternal salvation. But while I'm living here to rightly divide, to work out the salvation that He already worked inside of me, that's the job for me to do.
Right.
And for you to do.
Right.
Get it right. Put man in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And the brothers and sisters around you will smile and say, "That's right."
Yes.
That's what tickles me sometimes when you come and you say something and they see it and they hear it and they're like, "That makes sense."
Mm-hmm.
I've had them tell me stuff like that or just smile come on their face and they're not arguing not one iota with me about it because they know. They know. Because
yes.
God is speaking to them, not me. God is speaking to their heart. And I was able to reflect something of the spiritual above. Reflect it. And they saw it. And they're like, "That's peace. I come for peace."
Mm-hmm.
If I come for any other reason, I'm coming for the wrong reasons. I'm coming to find peace with my brothers and sisters. If even though y'all, I come out here studying, trying to find one other spot, and I get out of Brother Vaughn's way. I think this will fit. It's over in the book of Jude. Book of Jude, chapter 1. This is the only one chapter. Yeah, let's read. Verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." There's another salvation. Oh, yeah. A common salvation. I think that's why we're living here today. Common among us. Common about what Jesus Christ has done for us. "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints."
Yes.
I believe that's why we're living here today.
Yes.
While we're walking, as we're trying to seek out those things that belong to God. And then we may seek how to walk in the church. The church is a privilege. It is to be able to walk in it and to be able to be about it, be about brothers and sisters. And I strive hard. I know you do too, because y'all try so hard to walk and do what's right and be fair and honest with people around you and try to do what the scriptures teach us. Because I find in scriptures, Jesus says, "You love me, you'll do my commandments."
Right.
If you love me,
right.
I love him, Brother Vaughn, because he first loved me.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability now to walk in the gospel truth. And give him all praise, all honor, and seek him out in my daily walk.
Amen.
So there's more than one salvation. Look at it, brothers and sisters, carefully. I hope I've given you some, I use the term ammunition, to help strengthen you that there's more than one salvation in the scriptures.
Right.
You know, we take it for granted, so Primitive Baptists do, because we've heard it preached so beautifully so many times. But sometimes we need to go over it again, and that's what I was doing today.
Yes.
Going over it again to help us strengthen our understanding. So when we come around, folks, and they start trying to put it all together as one salvation, there's more there. Like I've told people before, we always see just like looking up at the sky. We only see just this little blue spot right here. But there's a whole big old world of blue.
Right.
That we have no idea how beautiful all that God has in store. But what little bit he gives us, we will rejoice in what he's given us. And I hope we preach it to the nth degree, because the scripture, the love of God is like an ocean. And all we got is a little thimbleful at best.
Right.
But man, it is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that he manifests himself to us, and we try to preach it as he has taught us to work out our salvation, mm-hmm. what God has already worked in us. Because eternally, he has a people, and they'll be housed in heaven and mortal glory. But we can't do it. All honor and glory belongs to him. I hope. Come ahead, Brother Vaughn.